Okay, the last speaker of today is Setwan Tseng. He will talk about bootstrap, the lattice Young Mills theory.
Okay, shall I start?
Yeah, I think you can start, I think.
Okay, good afternoon. It is my great honor to present our work, Bootstrap the Lattice Young Mills Theory, collaborated with my PhD supervisor, Volodya Kazakov, who is a real expert on matrix model and integrability, and who teach me a lot during our collaboration. Okay, what is Bootstrap? This is one of the mostly abused terminology in every aspect of science. For example, in the computer science, it is sometimes referred to a framework in the web development. But literally, it actually means this part of the shoes. It is not shoelace, actually. And in our in today's talk here, we mean that basically it is solving the theoretical physics problem by optimization theory. We will start with a toy model, or if we, I rather prefer to call it a prototype, because although it will be very simple, we will say that it captures the most important construction of our bootstrap method to lattice Young Mills theory. Okay, let's talk about the motivation. The motivation is, first, it is a fully non-perturbative formulation, and we will see that the bootstrap method gives us the rigorous upper bound and the lower bound on the dynamical quantities of the system. And also, it is not only theoretically interesting, but numerically competitive. We will see that in some area, it can already beat the standard numerical method in most of the physics area, that is the Monte Carlo method. Okay, let's begin with some very brief introduction to the optimization theory. Actually, maybe some of you don't know the name, but you must know this kind of problem. For example, the quadratic programming, that is minimizing a quadratic polynomial. Just minimize a quadratic polynomial. And also the linear programming, that is minimize a linear combination of some variables under some linear equalities or inequalities. This seems very simple and naive, but imagine that you have 10,000 of variables and 10,000 number of equations or inequalities. Then finding a efficient algorithm to solve this problem is not an easy task, actually. And the most important kind of optimization problem we will be talking about is actually semi-definite programming. That is, we minimize some linear combination of the variables under a semi-definite condition of a linear matrix. We notice that the previous two kind of programming, that is quadratic programming and linear programming, they are actually a special case of this semi-definite programming. For example, linear programming, you can think of it as under a semi-definite condition of a diagonal matrix. And all these kind of programming, they fall into the class of convex optimization. That means we are minimizing a convex function subjected to a convex set. Let me remind you briefly what a convex set means. That is, there is a set in the Euclidean space that you have two points in the set. Then the middle point of any such two point must be also in this set. Then this is convex. For example, a linear line, it must be convex. But such nonlinear line or nonlinear equation, it must be not convex. Why? Because think of a parabola. That is, if you take any different two points, the middle point of a parabola is not also on the parabola. But I simply notice that nonlinear equation cannot be convex, but nonlinear inequality can be convex. How to say that? Well, the region inside a parabola, it is convex. This is very important. This will be very important in our following this construction. And generally, if the problem, optimization problem, it is not convex, then generally we cannot solve it. This means that when the scale of the problem goes large, the level of difficulty will grow exponentially, that it will be hopeless to solve it. And computational complexity theory, this kind of non-convex problem, this is NP-hard actually. Okay, so let's begin our toy model that I would like to call it a zero-dimensional FIFO theory. Actually, it is as simple as it could be. It is a single variable integral. Here we take it as a partition function. So we want to use bootstrap to solve its moments, actually. All the moments under this partition function, that is the expectation value of x to the k. Let's see how the bootstrap works here. Of course, we have a lot of method to deal with this problem. The bootstrap problem method first begins with actually the Schwinger-Dyson equation. We do a minimal shift x to the x plus minus to get some linear equations constraining different moments. Actually, this is equivalent to that you continuous do the integration by parts, then you get this kind of equations. And then we have the global symmetry. That means from the symmetry of this model, we can see that it has a x to the minus x symmetry, so that the old moments must be vanishing. So we have the global symmetry. Although this condition looks naive, actually this is independent from this kind of Schwinger-Dyson equation. So we must take it, for efficiency, we must take it into account. But through these two equations, actually we can solve all the higher moments. Higher moments means k larger than 2 by at some linear combinations of W2. But for the W2, we cannot solve it. We can check it actually here. The k goes from the k goes from 0 to infinity. So we cannot solve W2. How to solve W2? As long as we can have a very precise estimate of W2, then this problem is solved. Well, we have this simple observation that any square of polynomial integrated over the quartic measure is positive. This is as naive as it could be. But we notice that this must be true for any alpha, that is any vector alpha. So this equation, actually it is a quadratic form of the vector alpha. So this always true means that if the matrix correspond to this quadratic form must be positive semi-definite. This is just the definition. What's the matrix? Well, this is the matrix. We can check it. The WK, I remind you that this is just a case moment. So we can extract this matrix. And this matrix is actually equivalent to a series of algebraic inequalities of W2. I remind you that we already solve all the higher moments by add some linear combinations of W2. Okay, so we formulate this problem as a semi-definite programming actually. We can, under these conditions, we can minimize or maximize W2 such that this matrix, we will call it later correlation matrix because it's a matrix of correlation functions. This is positive semi-definite. For the numerical reason, of course, we will put some truncations on this matrix. Let's see. W lambda is the top lambda plus 1 times lambda plus 1 of the matrix. Okay, so how does it work? Of course, our conditions, our constraint, we just wrote, it must be correct. But the result could be totally trivial, but it seems not. Here, this is the analytical result. You can always get it from Mathematica. This I and K, they are some modified Bessel functions. And this is a numerical result at g equals 1, lambda equals 10. This is what you get from minimizing W2. And this number is what you get from maximizing W2. In the middle, this is the analytical result. So we can see that this is already a five-digit result. So this is highly non-trivial. This is the plot. As we increase lambda, we see that the allowed region of W2 shrinking very fast. Actually, for lambda equals 12, the upper bound and lower bound is already indistinguishable. Okay, this finish our bootstrap of this toy model. Here is some several remarks. First remark is that in some aspect we are already much better than the weak coupling expansion. Why? If you do the weak coupling expansion and G equals 1, you can try it. Whatever order you keep, you can get totally not reliable result. And another important thing is, or the most urgent thing is that why this method work? Well, when we are keep increasing the lambda, whether we will converge to the exact result or it will stabilize in a finite region. Well, actually, in our previous paper on a matrix model bootstrap, we proved that the similar model in the large N1 matrix, it must converge. And recently, there is a mathematician told me that for this model, the toy model we just discussed, we can also prove that it converges. The essence of this proof is that we use some result from the Hamburger moment problem. Basically, what does this mean? This means that our positivity condition tells us that the integration is on the real line of the real axis. Let's put it more intuitively. Say, if you want to do a numerical integration in Mathematica, first you need to tell Mathematica what function you are doing the integration. Then you must tell Mathematica on which region you are doing the integration. So let's go back to our Schwinger-Dyson equation. For the Schwinger-Dyson equation, we are telling the bootstrap program what function we are doing the integration. And for the positivity condition, we are telling bootstrap on which time kind of mirror space we are doing the integration. That, by saying this, I mean that if we are integrating over some different region, let's say on the unique circle, complex unit circle, then this matrix will be very different. Actually, it is.
Sorry, could you maybe summarize here? So what precisely is the quantity you are maximizing and what are the constraints, just to be sure? So the constraint is this has to be positive and you are maximizing?
Yes. The constraint is that this is an infinite dimensional matrix, right? You do some finite truncation, like let's say top 10 times top 10 matrix. And I remind you that this matrix, after you solve the Schwinger-Dyson equation, it is just a linear matrix on W2. This matrix is positive semi-definite. So you can minimize and maximize W2. This is a well-posed semi-definite programming. Okay, so the uniqueness or the generalization. My conjecture is that as long as you are in a finite number of integration, or you are integrating in a finite dimensional space, then this always leads you to a unique solution. This will always work because I tried it this is single variable integral. I tried it two variable integral or three variable integral. It always works. But there will be some tricky things happens when you have infinite number of degree of freedom. We all know that interesting physics phenomena, it will almost always happens when you have an infinite number of degree of freedom. So this can be tricky. In that situation, there might be some spontaneously breaking of symmetry. And the bootstrap program, it will tell you there will be multiple solutions, actually. So by this way, I'm saying that bootstrap, it is possible to capture the symmetry breaking. Okay, the last point, I want to discuss something about the symmetry assumption here. So if we don't assume the symmetry, that is, we don't assume the old moments are zero, then what will we get? Well, we can solve from the Schwinger-Dyson equation that all the higher moment, all the higher even moment, they are the linear function of W2, and all the higher old moment, they are linear function of W1. And you do the maximization, you will get this result at lambda equals 10. So basically, bootstrap, if you don't assume the global symmetry, it will reconstruct the global symmetry. This is the conclusion. So this global symmetry assumption, it is not necessary, but it will make our algorithm more efficient. When we want to study the spontaneously breaking of the symmetry, well, we must assume, don't assume the global symmetry, of course. And another thing I want to remark is that this symmetry actually makes the correlation matrix, makes it block diagonal. We will see that by simply rearranging the indexes, we can make it to a even block and the, Z2 even block and Z2 old block. The intermediate state, it is, they are all old moments, so they must be zero. So our original correlation matrix, it factorized to an even block and an old block. What does this mean? Well, I will discuss later that when we have, when our global symmetry group is much more involved, that's not Z2, but some other finite group or other Lie group, then for each irreducible representation, we have a block. It can always factorize. Okay. The other model here, I won't go deep into it, but I'm presenting it because from the, from studying of this model, the bootstrap result is much better than the current Monte Carlo implementation. So this is a large N2 matrix model. And this matrix, of course, it is already much more involved than our previous toy model. Here, our observables is not anymore some monomial in terms of X because of the A matrix and the B matrix, they are not commutative. So we have a series of this kind of observables. This is our observables. And for the equation, we also have the Schwinger-Dyson equation. The logic goes very goes through very similarly, but there is some subtleties. I won't discuss it here. I will leave the subtleties when we are discussing the lattice gauge theory. I simply put the result. This is there are two parameters of the model, G and H. When we put G equals 1 and H equals 1, and we put lambda equals 11, what does this mean? This means that we set a length truncation on all of these observables. Let's see, all the observables here means less than length 22. This is already a very high cutoff, you can see that. This is our result. The trace A square and the trace A to the fourth, they are very tightly bounded. This is a six-dimensional result. And we can have the shrinking island for the trace A square and the trace A to the fourth. When we are increasing the lambda, that is, when we are considering length smaller than 14, 16, and this is 18, the island of the allowed region of trace A square and trace A to the fourth, this is trace A square, trace A to the fourth, it is shrinking very fast. And the lambda equals 10 and 11, they are on this very, very sharp cross here. So this is how we use the bootstrap method to do the so-called matrix bootstrap. This is some comparison with Monte Carlo study. Monte Carlo, someone did it using 800 times 800 Monte Carlo to get, it take 80 to 85 hours to get 45 digit. But for the bootstrap, this is already old result. I notice you that we take 40 hours to get six digit. This is the result without some new implementation. With all this implementation, with all the implementation we develop later, I will describe in the lattice gauge theory. This should be less than 1 hour, I think. So this, you can see that this is very solid and promising numerical method. Okay, So finally, we go to the lattice gauge theory. That is, here we are going to bootstrap the lattice gauge theory in the large N limit, that is, planar limit, where the, all the dynamic forming will be suppressed, and the only thing remaining is the gluon field, or our observable here, not like in the toy model, it is a monomial expectation, but here our observable is the Wilson loop. And here what we are going to bootstrap is the same as the beginning of lattice QCD study. We are going to bootstrap this quantity, single black hat average. This is the result. I will come back to it later. And you can leave an impression of it. This is some upper bound and lower bound of the black hat average. And this red dot, or the purple dot here, this is a Monte Carlo study. And the perturbative line, this is a strong coupling and a weak coupling expansion. This is 4D lattice gauge theory and 3D. Of course, they are all in the large N limit. Okay, let's start. The Schwinger-Dyson equation, or the equation of motion in this side, it is called the McKinko-McDowell loop equation. It is a fully non-perturbative relation between the different Wilson loops. Here, I will give some example. This is, to derive this equation, it is almost trivial, but a little bit tricky. It will be a little bit tricky. Due to the time reason, I will not derive it here. But I will show some example how this will work. Let's see, in the two-dimensional case, this is a linear variation. In this case, there is no nonlinear terms. This is fully linear. Put the simplest case, we have a Plaquet average, and we do the variation on this link, what we will get? This is the equation. So from up and down, we do the linear variation, so we will get, this is from, you are doing the variation downside, and you are doing the variation upside. So this is the loop equation for this kind of variation. What's more, we have the backtrack loop equation. You can see that this Wilson loop, there is a backtrack that going back and forth. If we are serious about it, this is exactly identical to the single black hat average. But when you are taking the Schwinger-Dyson variation, this is not. You can do the variation here from up and from down, you will get this equation. This term for the original Wilson loop, and there is an overlapping term. For the non-linear term, it cancels. So this is a linear equation, actually. And it is lambda independent. This equation doesn't contain lambda. So when does the non-linear term appear? When you have overlapping terms. This is already a Wilson loop of length 8. So the non-linear term appear much later than in the length cutoff. So this is a variation correspond to the nonlinear term. So the nonlinear term here, you can use this variation to get that this is simply a minus of single black hat average square. Okay, this finish our very brief introduction to this McKinko-McDowell loop equation. All these discussions are in the two dimension. In the three dimension or four dimension, well, except from the variation up and down, you have left and right. In the four dimension, you have another dimension, of course. This is a brief intuition of it. Okay, so what's the positivity condition? Here, because we are dealing with unitary matrix, so we must not take the Hermitian conjugation instead of just take the original, like in the toy model, we take x squared. So, this is a path integral. It is integrating over SU infinity matrix. and this is a Wilson action. Sorry? Some over all the black hat, including their orientations. All the black hats on the cubic lattice, actually. Okay, this is the positivity condition. Here, the Hermitian conjugation on a Wilson path. By Wilson path, I mean that it is not a closed Wilson loop, but Wilson path has open indexes on both of its ends. So if we take the Hermitian conjugation of the Wilson path, we got the reverse of it. For example, we take this Wilson path, we take the Hermitian conjugation of this path, we got it reversed from this side. So for this matrix, we are taking two paths to construct the positivity matrix. So we will get on the diagonal, they are always one, instead of, this is very, already very different from our toy model. And on the off-diagonal term, we have the single plaquette average. This matrix must be positive semi-definite, which means the conclusion is rather trivial, that our single plaquette must be smaller than one. Generally, we can choose different starting point and end point of our matrix. For each starting point and end point, we have different matrices. So for convenience, we always put one of the end to zero, and the other end we can vary it. For example, if we put both of the end at zero, then we consider the we set length truncation at 4. That is, we only consider the Wilson line at 4. We will get this big matrix. These are all open Wilson lines. These lines, they are the respective Hermitian conjugation of these Wilson lines. By doing the inner product, you can join them together. On the diagonal, they are always one. And on the off-diagonal term, they can formulate a lot of, not really a lot of, but very big matrices of Wilson loops. Actually, there are six independent Wilson loops in this matrix, we will see. And why this is eight Wilson line? Well, you see that we are, I forgot to remind you that here we are dealing with in the two-dimensional lattice gauge theory. But for higher dimension, this will be a trivial generalization. So there are four rotations to rotate the original Wilson loop here. And there is also a reverse of the path. That is, you can go this way, you can go this way or the reversed way. They are inequivalent Wilson lines. So there is eight ones. So this is a 9 × 9 Wilson loop. The one here is a length zero Wilson loop. Okay, and together with our original, the two McKinkle-McDowell loop equation we just listed, they are the only two non-trivial loop equations under a cutoff 8. So we have six variables, we have two equations, so effectively we have four independent Wilson loops under the positivity condition of this big matrix. This is a semi-definite programming. So we can do the maximization and the minimization. The lower bound or the minimization, this is rather trivial, it's just zero. And the upper bound, this is smaller than 0.69300. This is a bootstrap result at lambda equals one. So till now, we go exactly parallel to what we have constructed in the toy model, that single variable integral. But we may ask, how far can this method go? Actually, the method I discussed till now, it is basically in the pioneering work of Anderson and Kruczynski in 2007. This is basically their construction. But they find that when they are going to higher order, they will meet with almost not not possible to very large scale semi-definite programming. So they got very relatively very trivial result. So let's see how we can improve this method. First is the positivity condition. When we are discussing the toy model, we said that the positivity condition briefly capture on which mirror space you are doing the integration. So we are switching to the mirror space of large N lattice gauge theory. That is, on each lattice side, we have a SU infinity matrix. So we expect that we should have more positivity conditions than the original single variable integral. It is indeed. Our brief observation is that for that kind of positivity matrix, basically, if you can construct inner product on the space, all the subspace of operators, then you get a positivity matrix. So except the Hermitian conjugation, we have a more well-known positivity conditions. That is the reflection positivity or the unitarity when you are talking about Minkowski field theory. That is, on the lattice, we have three kinds of reflection positivity conditions. Reflection by the side, that means reflection by the lattice line, and reflection by the middle of lattice line. This is independent reflection positivities, and also reflection by the diagonal. So these three kinds of reflection positivities, it turns out that they give independent positivity conditions on the older group of Wilson loops. For example, this is a 3D lattice Yamil theory bootstrap result. The green line here, this is a bootstrap without reflection positivity when Lmax equals 12, so that we are bootstrapping all the Wilson lines with length less or equal to 12. And the orange line is when we consider the reflection positivity. So you see that it is indeed it is an independent set of positivity conditions. And this is still this is not the end of the theory. When we are increasing the bootstrap cutoff, our positivity matrix it actually grows exponentially. Let me give you a brief impression of how fast it grows. We already see that in the two dimension, when length Lmax equals 8, the matrix is 9 times 9. But in three dimension, when Lmax equals 16, the matrix is already 6,500 times 6,500. This is indeed, it is a super large scale semi-definite programming. Considering that, well, see, at this scale of large matrix, even you do the matrix multiplication, it is already very hard. So if you have a 4,000 times 4,000 matrix, you want to do the matrix multiplication. In our best implementation in the computer science, this will take you like 10 seconds CPU time already. So solving that kind of SDP is hopeless. So here we propose a symmetry reduction. That is, I described earlier that actually our correlation matrix we just discussed, it can factorize to each irreducible representation of the global symmetry, and it can be block diagonal. By this way, we greatly simplify the problem. Let's see. The correct intuition here is you can consider the partial wave expansion of the S matrix. From the partial wave expansion, you decompose the S matrix in different spin channel. And in different spin channels, the S matrix, they are orthogonal to each other. So it fully decompose. Here, actually, this is mathematically guaranteed that as long as we have an inner product that preserves the global symmetry, it will decompose into different irreducible representation. Here, this is our global symmetry. For the S matrix, we have the SOD, global symmetry. Here we have the lattice. Somehow it breaks the SOD global symmetry to the lattice point group. Together with D2, this is actually the charge conjugation symmetry. So here we list the symmetry group of a different kind of inner product. So for the Hermitian conjugation, that is the positivity condition we initially proposed, this is a full group. B2, B3, and B4, here I denote the point group of the lattice. But when we are considering the reflection positivity, we can still do the symmetry reduction, but that symmetry group must stabilize the reflection plane. If it breaks the reflection plane, then it is not even a symmetry of the inner product. So this is the method we propose. In the situation we just discussed, that is Lmax equals 8, we have, I remind you, we have 9 Wilson lines. They can fall into, through some linear combination, they can fall into the different representations of our global group. Sorry, that is a point group direct product with charge conjugation. We have, this is not, there are some representation, there is no vectors, but the vector in that representation only appear in higher length cutoff. Here we only have 6 irreducible representations, which means that our matrix will be block diagonal by 6 matrix, each correspond to this matrix, let's see. Because it is a one times small matrix, this is just linear equalities. So only in semi-definite programming, only in the semi-definite matrix is a singlet matrix or trivial representation. So by this way, we greatly reduce the 9 times 9 semi-definite programming to a series of linear inequality plus a 2 times 2 matrix. So this greatly simplifies the problem. Actually, when you have a, let's say, 1,000 times 1,000 matrix, this will speed up the program several order of magnitude. And what's more, we have the selection of multiplet. We already observed that, let's go back to our length 8 bootstrap. I notice you that in the 6 non-equivalent Wilson loops, the 2 times 2 big square Wilson loop doesn't even appear, which means that there are some multiplet that is not important. So we just discard it. After this symmetry reduction and after this selection of multiplet, the 3D Lmax equals 16, the huge matrix, 6,500 times 6,500, it reduced to 20 smaller matrix, each of very small size. This is our reduction to the positivity condition. What's more, we must do something to the loop equation. I already noticed you that the loop equation, when we are going to higher order, they are nonlinear. And I told you that the nonlinear equations, they are non-convex conditions. So when you are going to higher order, this is actually a non-convex optimization problem. It is not even SDP. So we must do some, actually this is called convex relaxation to make it into a convex situation. Well, how to do the convex relaxation? The most naive way is you just introduce new variables in the place of quadratic terms and totally forget that these quadratic terms, they are product of other Wilson loops. This is already a relaxation. Of course, this must be correct, but you see, through this kind of relaxation, we must lose some information. Actually, we have a better choice. Let's see. Suppose we introduce 3 variables in terms of the x square, y square, and xy. We suppose xy, there are some very involved Wilson loops, and t1, t2, t3 is in the place of their product. Well, by this way, we substitute the t1, t2, t3 to the loop equations. The loop equation, they are linear, but these conditions, they are not linear. How to deal with it? Well, for the first one, x squared smaller than t1, we can relax it to x squared smaller or equal to t1. Or in the semi-definite matrix form, we can write it in this way. This is definitely a positive condition. This condition is a parabola, and this condition is a region inside the parabola. It is convex. And we can do the same thing on the y squared. But we cannot reproduce the same story on the x squared. X y smaller than t3. How to do that? The reason we can do it because this condition or this condition, they are not convex. Why? Because the true reason is that x y is not a positive definite quadratic term, a quadratic form, but x squared it is. So the best we can do is that we take some linear combinations of x and y, and suppose that this relaxation is true for all the alphas. In fact, numerically, it is possible that we take a grid of alphas and we impose this relaxation condition on each grid, but we have better choice. I remind you that this is actually, in terms of alpha, this must be true for alpha. So this is a linear inequality. This must be true for any alpha. So the determinant of this inequality must be smaller or equal to zero. And we can massage this equation to get this condition. So combined with these positivity conditions, we finally reach that our final relaxation scheme. That we introduce T1, T2, T3 in the place of x squared, y squared, and xy. But the new variables, they must subject to this new positive semi-definite inequalities. This is our general scheme. Or when we have a more number of quantities, we have a much larger relaxation matrix. This is our convex relaxation of the loop equation. So, for example, in our problem, when Lmax equals 12, we have this kind of relaxation matrix. When Lmax equals 12, the Q, which is the square of single Plaquet average, it is the only quadratic term in our loop equation. So this is a matrix, relaxation matrix. When we are going to higher cutoff, the relaxation matrix will be bigger and bigger. Okay, so this is our final scheme. We take the minimization or maximization, the single Plaquet average, subject to the relaxed Markinko-McDowell loop equation with the relaxation matrix and the correlation matrix in each irreducible block and the reflection matrix in each irreducible block. And there is three kinds of reflection matrix. This is our final scheme. And we reach our final conclusion. This is a two-dimensional large N Yang-Mills theory. In this case, this is actually a solvable model. We have the exact solution for the UP in the strong weak coupling region and strong coupling region. We see that for the yellow region, this is Lmax equals 8. We have already reproduced. And the orange region is Lmax equals 12. The blue region is Lmax equals 16. So when we are increasing the bootstrap cutoff, except from the critical value. In the neighborhood of critical value, the bootstrap doesn't perform as good as other regions, but we see that it is shrinking very fast. And this is the 3D and 4D result. This is what we already presented. We see that in the weak coupling region, for the Lattice-Yang-Mills theory, weak coupling region is the correct regime when you are doing the renormalization flow to study QCD. This is a physically critical region. And we see that in this region, we are already extremely close to the Monte Carlo region. Actually, in the asymptotic region, that is very, lambda is very close to zero. We are already better than the Monte Carlo in the upper bound. And for the lower bound, it converged to the exact value much slower. The correct intuition for it is that in this allowed region, our best estimate for the exact value, it should minimize the action but the action is the minus of Plaquette average. So the exact value should be very close to the upper bound of the bootstrap result. So this is the intuition. But for the strong coupling region, that is the Wilson action is greatly suppressed due to that lambda become large. So the upper bound and lower bound, when lambda goes large, they are equally close to the exact result. Okay, so this is the main result of our bootstrap. Here are some final remarks. So here, the Marchenko-McDowell loop equation, actually they are overdetermined. That by this I mean there are some linear redundancies. Some loop equations, they are linear combination of other loop equations. So solving this kind of loop equations, they might be very challenging. There might be some numerical instability. We hope that in the near future, there will be some mathematical theorem that help us to get rid of these linear redundancies. And we notice that the number of independent Wilson loop, they are much larger than the number of independent loop equations. That means if we introduce one new loop equations, maybe we introduce like six or eight new Wilson loops. But the new variables, they are subjected to the positivity conditions. So actually our result shows that this is worth it. And another remark is that all the Wilson loop average, they are real values. This is just from the global symmetry. We assume that the charge conjugation global symmetry, so that all the Wilson loop, they are real. If we don't assume it, by this we mean that we want to bootstrap the spontaneously breaking of charge conjugation, then this will be much more involved. This will be a Hermitian semi-definite programming. It is much more involved, actually. Okay, this I already said. And the next point is that this is very perfectible. All our code, basically, it is single core. We just run it. There is most part of our algorithm, there is no parallelization. So we expect a much better result when we parallelize it and we go to Lmax equals 24. We think at this order of magnitude, we should, for the single Plaquette average, we should already get better results than the Monte Carlo. And this method is not limited to large N. Actually, all this method, it could be generalized straightforwardly to the N equals 3, which is of physical importance here. And another thing is that we can not only bootstrap the single Plaquette average, we can get estimate on all the family of these Wilson loops under our bootstrap cutoff. Let's see, our bootstrap cutoff is 16, so we can get estimate of all Wilson loops under the length cutoff 16. So FTP solver, FTP is a very mature industrial problem, and this is one of the commercial solver of it. This is MOSAIC. It take our workstation 20 hour CPU time for a single point in the four-dimensional case. Okay, the final remark is that we are not far from the real physics. Thanks. Yes.
Can you recover 11 thirds from your computations?
Sorry?
Can you compute the beta function?
Beta function, it is not relevant in here because here we are just computing the expectations of the Wilson loops, and computing beta function, there is a very mature method in the continuous QCD. So in this case, I don't think there is any construction to formulate the beta function in terms of the Wilson loop expectations, right? And on the lattice, most of the time, we are not interested in the beta function. We are using some systematic way to extract the physics quantities directly from the lattice simulation. Or the beta function, or the physical scale, it is directly related with the lambda here. In the small lambda limit, that is when your lambda goes to zero, this corresponds actually to the QCD in the continuum.
More questions?
Yes?
So that was n in your calculation, the n of SU1, and is
yes,
that?
Yes, n is the number of colors.
Yeah, sure, but where did it appear in your calculation? And is there any
there?
Simplification for n equals infinity or no?
Sorry, where do you mean?
Large n. Is there any simplification for large n in your approach?
A large n, yes, we are always working the large n limit.
Always. But you said you can do also n equals 3 or?
Yes. For n equals 3, there is no large n factorization. So you must, you not only need to write down the loop equation for single trace variables, but also loop equations for multi-trace variables. So this is the story. This will be generalized very straightforwardly. But for n equals 3, the fermion side, it is not suppressed. Rigorously speaking, you must take fermion into account. This is already very challenging in the lattice QCD side, taking into account of the dynamical fermion.
So it seems that the Migdal-Makeyenko equations are not more complicated if you write them for, say, big rectangular loop, Wilson loop. So maybe you are able to solve the problem for the quark anti-quark potential in this way. Indeed, the symmetry of the Wilson loop, the rectangular Wilson loop, is a bit smaller than the symmetry you use when calculating the Plaquette average, but still maybe it's still possible.
Sorry, could you repeat your question?
Oh, I mean, have you thought of computing the Wilson loop?
Say other Wilson loops.
You
mean, have you ever thought of computing other Wilson loops?
Oh, yes, computing Wilson loop.
Yes, I gave a remark here that if our bootstrap cutoff is high enough, in principle, we can compute all the large Wilson loops.
I think that you don't need to make it as big as the size of the loop, because they will close in...
Yes, you mean start the bootstrap program from some big...
Exactly.
Yes, that's possible. But by this way, I think you can only compute some ratios of Wilson loops, because here you set the normalization of vanishing Wilson loop, that is length zero Wilson loop to one. But for a big square, you can only compute their ratios, setting some normalization. I thought about it, but it seems a bit involved. I didn't do it seriously, I must admit.
You can compare Wilson loops with different sizes and take the ratio. I mean, if you compare Wilson loop with different aspect ratios,
yes,
then you can. You don't need really the normalization. Yes.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, it is possible. But apparently, there must be a lot of effort to do such a bootstrap program.
Yes, you will have less symmetry. And another thing, maybe you are able to investigate gauge theory with infinite temperature. with the periodic time direction on the lattice.
Yes, this we already put it on the infinite lattice. So on the infinite temperature, I think you are compactifying it as a just a plane, right?
It's very simple. Yes, just you change the weights of the of your ensemble of loops.
Of course, I think it's possible. Even you can bootstrap the finite temperature QCD. You select the direction and you compactify it.
Actually, you will have a bit more loops because you will have loops that go around.
Yes, that's the Polyakov loop. Yes, indeed. So you can study the, in principle, you can study the confinement of the QCD. Yes.
Thanks.
Volodya?
Just a little comment to clarify maybe your discussion that in this method, let's say in Monte Carlo, you can choose your favorite loop and compute it by Monte Carlo. And it will be one single calculation for, of course, infrared cutoff would be the size of the lattice. Yes, here we don't have, the lattice is infinite, but we have finite length of the loops. But in our method, we have to calculate all loops up to a given one. So you cannot start from very big loop and write a few equations and pretend that you get anything. You have really to get all loops from plaquette, single plaquette, up to the loop of your size. Yes, yeah. At least if you propose something else, maybe but I don't see how you can start from very big loop, so you change the shape of the loop, applying equations little by little, but you don't know what is in the middle. But the advantage of this method is that for these small loops, you really do very precise calculations. But the disadvantage is that you cannot start from very big loop, including finite temperature. If you are on the cylinder should be of the length like 3, 4, not more. That's the state of things. If you have other ideas, I would be happy to discuss. Maybe if you combine it with summary normalization scheme, maybe you're right, but it's just to... Yes, yes. But what is nice about this method, you get really precise inequalities on all these loops. They are rigorous. But with all these normalizations, you lose a little bit control on it.
Let me comment a little bit. Actually, the starting from a big Wilson loop, I thought about it. My conclusion is that this might be possible, but technically it will be very hard. Maybe we need some new ideas to see how to bootstrap this very big Wilson loops or start the bootstrap program from the Wilson loops. On the current setting, this is very far, actually. But if we have some new ideas, who knows? Yeah, in principle, it is possible, I think.
Okay, further questions? Okay, let's thank again the speaker.
Okay. Thanks.